All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad that you all decided to join us tonight. I'm really personally very excited to share with you this message that I prepared. So I hope that it will edify you and be helpful to you in your faith. So all of us are here because we worship a God that we believe in and that we love with all our hearts. And being a follower of God is a great thing. Being a part of God's family can connect you with so many great people. And believing in God is a wonderful way to deal with all the, to reduce the anxieties and the stresses that life can place on us at times. But sometimes, trusting and believing in God isn't all easy. God wants us to stay faithful, but even when there's nothing in it for us. Now, in our world, people are constantly looking for opportunities that they can gain something, whether that's money, status, fame, or power, or something else. People are always out to have more. And have you ever asked somebody for a favor and they responded with something like, "What's it worth to you?" or "What's in it for me?" This is because the world that we live in has taught us to never do something for nothing. We've been trained to make sure that there's a benefit for us if we do something for someone else. And don't get me wrong, this can be a good trait sometimes, because it can keep us from getting taken advantage of by somebody. But the fact remains that our society doesn't always encourage us to do things out of the kindness of our hearts. Sometimes being a Christian can feel like a favor with no reward. It can feel like a job with no pay. It can feel like there's nothing in it for us. So tonight, we're going to look at a few examples from the New and the Old Testament when God's people gave up on what they wanted and decided to follow His plan instead. And then we'll look at some of the ways that these stories can apply to our lives today. But before we get started, let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to bless our time. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for this day that You've blessed us with and this time that You've set aside for us to gather here together and sing praises to Your name. Lord, we hope that You'll be with us as we go throughout the rest of this hour. Help us to have our hearts and minds focused on You and to hopefully learn something about Your Word that we can apply to our lives and become better Christians because of it. Lord, we thank You for giving us this world that You've blessed us with, and we hope that You will be with us as we continue and we start this new week. Help us to remember You and to reflect Your Word in everything that we do. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so firstly, in the New Testament, the first century church experienced a lot of persecution. Now, a few stories come to mind, and the first of those that I'm thinking of tonight is the death of Stephen that we heard about this morning. So Stephen was one of the earliest disciples in the church, and we see instantly that he was ready to forsake himself and to serve Christ. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 7, Stephen delivers an address to the people, and really quickly they get very angry with him. In verse 54 through 60, it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So we see here that Stephen was incredibly dedicated to his faith. Even in the face of death, he didn't try to stop his attackers or run away in any capacity. He simply asked God to forgive his attackers for the sin that they were about to commit. And the forgiveness that we see Stephen display here can be a hard concept for us to grasp. Forgiveness is difficult because our world teaches us that when someone wrongs you, you're supposed to get them back, just as bad or worse. But here, Stephen is being stoned, and he's to the point of death. And the whole time, he isn't cursing his attackers or trying to fight back or get back at them in any way. He's simply praising God. I think it's safe to say that inside, Stephen was incredibly angry at these people because they were doing this to him. But he didn't lash out or try to get them back. He allowed them to take his life, the most precious possession that any person can have. Another person who made a great sacrifice is Paul. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll start in verse 23. And we see all the hardships that Paul went through for the sake of Christ. In verse 23 onward, it says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Paul had to endure beatings, humiliations, stonings, shipwrecks, and pretty much any other kind of hardship that we can think of. And he did it all. He did it all with no monetary reward or fame of any kind. He did it all to glorify Christ. Even Peter and Andrew, when they were caught by Christ, instantly abandoned their jobs fishing and went to follow Jesus. At this time, leaving the trade that your father worked in would have been a shock to everyone that you knew, especially if you left as suddenly as these two did. They forsook everything they had accomplished in life and everything that they had to follow after Jesus, no matter what it took. Now, can you imagine the same situation today? Someone shows up to your work and says you have to drop everything and follow them all around the world. How easy would it be for you to leave behind your job, your reputation, your status, your means to provide for your family, and even your family themselves, to follow this person? Your whole life would be completely uprooted. But that's what Peter and Andrew did. They instantly gave up their whole lives to follow Jesus. And even in the Old Testament, we have many stories of the followers of God staying faithful to Him, even when there was nothing in it for them. And the first of these is Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, God decided to test Abraham's faith. Now, Abraham only had one son with his wife, and his name was Isaac. And Isaac was very precious to him. Isaac was born to Abraham after he'd already lived for 100 years. Until then, Abraham and his wife had not been able to have any children. Because of this, Abraham certainly would have been very protective of his son. But God's test required Abraham to give up the thing that he loved the most. In verses 1 and 2 it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" Now, God had given Abraham a gruesome and devastating task. Now, I'm obviously not a parent myself, but I think I speak for all of us when I say that the idea of sacrificing your own child is one of the most horrible things that can cross your mind. Most parents would never even dream of harming their child in any way, let alone killing them. But as the rest of this chapter shows, Abraham was ready to follow through. God's command was only a test, but Abraham saw it as a commandment. He was more than ready to follow through on it, no matter how much it hurt. Abraham had a great love for Isaac, but he showed that his love for God was even greater than that. Hosea is another Old Testament character who stayed faithful even when he had to do things that he didn't like. Hosea was one of the prophets of God, and as part of his service, God commanded him to go and marry a prostitute named Gomer. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 through 5 say, "When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, 'Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord.' So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, 'Call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Israel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel.'" Marrying Gomer would have cost Hosea many things. Firstly, it cost him his chance at a normal family. By marrying Gomer, Hosea wouldn't have been able to marry the person that he wanted to marry, and that would have been bad enough already. And on top of this, since she was a harlot, Gomer was no doubt unfaithful to Hosea during their marriage, which would have hurt him deeply. Secondly, Hosea's reputation would likely have been damaged as a result of this marriage. Being a prophet of God, the people of Israel probably would have seen Hosea as a very devout and righteous man. But then he marries himself to this notorious sinner. Where Hosea was once someone to look up to, now he was just the husband of a prostitute. And this would have cost him a lot of the respect that he had. But even though the marriage that God arranged for Hosea completely derailed his life from the human perspective and brought great shame upon him, he didn't forsake God. He just did everything that was asked of him. Our final Old Testament example comes from 1 Samuel. In it, we see that Hannah desperately wanted to have a son, but she could have no children at all. If you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll see the lengths that Hannah went to in order to have a child. In verse 9 through 11, it says, "So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow, and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" Now Hannah wanted to have a child so badly that she was even willing to give him away to serve in the tabernacle after he was born. And as we see later on, God honored Hannah's vow, and Samuel was born. And as we see in verse 24 through 28, Hannah kept her promise. It says, "Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.'" So they worshiped the Lord there. Much like with Abraham, Hannah wanted children, but she couldn't have any, and she waited a very long time for her deepest wish to be granted. And the time finally came. But despite her love, she was still willing to give up Samuel to the Lord, even after she had waited for so long. So as we just saw, the people from these stories weren't motivated to follow God because they would gain something from it. They weren't after fame or money or power. God didn't say, "If you follow me, I promise to give you more wealth than you can imagine." He didn't say, "If you follow me, you'll be the most famous person in the land," or, "If you follow me, then you'll be the ruler of the world." Following God doesn't gain us anything from an earthly standpoint. There's nothing in it for us materially. But it isn't all about material wealth. A lot of times, we see the world through earthly human lenses. We don't like to do things that make us uncomfortable or that cost us something when we don't get anything in return. And that's why faith is hard. Sometimes faith isn't all sunshine and rainbows. We have to endure plenty of hardships for the cause of Jesus. But from a spiritual standpoint, we would be a fool if not follow God. And what are these reasons? Well, one of the reasons we should be serving God is because of the debt that we have to Him. By sacrificing His Son and taking away our sins, God saved us from eternal suffering and separation from Him. We could have never freed ourselves from that fate without God having mercy on us. Our gratitude to God can also extend beyond the salvation that He offers. God also gave us the world and all the things in it that we enjoy on a daily basis. Without God, we would be nothing. And that's why gratitude to God is so important. It shows Him we're thankful for all the things that He's blessed us with. Another reason for serving God is to spread His love and mercy to everyone that we meet. With news this good, how could we not spread it? We have to sacrifice for God because he sacrificed for us. Just like Abraham, God had to sacrifice his son to bring us salvation. He had to send his son away from his heavenly home so that he could come to earth and live a lowly life. And aside from that, Jesus had to endure one of the most painful and shameful deaths that we can imagine so that we could be saved. God didn't have to save us. He didn't have to have mercy on his creation. We all know that we certainly don't deserve that mercy. But God didn't give up on us. He gave up everything he had, even when there was nothing in it for him. The world tells us that serving God is pointless. They'll say there's no reason to hold ourselves back, and we should just do whatever we want, what we feel like. They'll say, why put yourself through so much trouble if you're not getting rewarded at all? Well, the truth is that our reward comes from a different source. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 6. In verses 5 and 6, he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So in this verse, Jesus himself tells us not to try to find an earthly reward in our service to God, but to strive to receive the reward that comes after this life. Serving God and having faith may be painful, but it's more than worth it to receive a home in heaven when this life is over. So we see that serving God is much greater than ourselves. We're not serving God for material gain, for fame, for power. We're serving him to show mercy, show gratitude for his mercy, and to bring his good news to others. Like we saw with the stories of Stephen, Paul, Peter and Andrew, Abraham, Hosea, and Hannah, serving God is not easy. It requires us to give up something that we care about. But the salvation of God is so much better than any material possession that we can have or enjoy. And that's why serving God is imperative, even when we have to make sacrifices. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you've put yourself and your interests before God's. Maybe you feel like you've disappointed God and you need to make amends. If so, I know for a fact that God always loves you and he's always willing to forgive. Or maybe you're here and you haven't yet accepted that awesome salvation that God can bring. When you're ready, you can accept that salvation and be buried with him in baptism. If you have one of those needs or any other need, I hope you'll come as we stand and sing.